How are they feeling? What's going on in their situation? Are they stressed? You know, as a speaker, I got to understand who my audience is. And I was going on stage one time. I was up there for a year and a half. We had this planned out. And I found out 10 minutes prior to going on stage that they had just been acquired. Well, it changes my audience a little bit. It changes their stress level. Yeah. It changes where their perceptions are at. And so I've got to be able to adjust me on the fly at that situation to be able to best meet their emotional state. Because if they're thinking about what does this mean to my job, and I don't care about this guy speaking on stage, I might have to tell my kids that we're moving. I might have to tell my family my job's, or I might have to go to call that recruiter who knows what that means. But if I can't address that stuff first there, so it really comes down to the concept of, would you plant seeds in cement? And the answer is no. And oftentimes our audience is cement. They're just not ready for you to hear it. So we got to prepare them before we plant the seeds of our ideas.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, we can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset. Learn and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points! Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here with Renee Rodriguez. Renee, what's happening, brother? How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to see you. We'll get into it. We'll get into this in a second, but Renee in 3 to 5 minutes completely changed my life. He is, for over 2 decades, been researching and applying behavioral neuroscience as a dynamic keynote speaker, leadership advisor, and world-class sales expert, and a renowned speaker coach. He's trained over more than 100,000 people in applying behavioral psychology and neuroscience methodologies to solve some of the toughest challenges in leadership, sales, and change. As an entrepreneur and CEO of multiple companies, Ray integrates a practical business approach that inspires his audience to take action through his keynotes, boot camps, workshops, and proprietary Amplify course, and the book, man, that I'm reading right now, Amplify Your Influence. He helps us own our backstory to build the frame of our unique and beautiful picture of life. That's a bio, brother. I want to pass the torch to you. Tell me a little bit about the story behind the story and a little bit about your vision and why you do what you do, maybe how that's made you successful.
Well, one, thanks for having me here. I appreciate that. And
thanks, man.
It's always a hard question to answer because, you know, when you say why successful, you know, when you feel like you're just getting started. Mm. And I think that's part of the journey is enjoying the journey and knowing that there's never an end to it. There's always a journey, and that's the only time you're alive. And so to me, to where I'm at now, how I got here, wow, I was a basketball player till 18 when I got cut in college for my second year. And my mother had me look around a room. She said, tell me what everybody in this room has in common. And I looked around the room and everybody had a brain. That's what she said. It's the only thing that holds us all together. And if we can understand how the human brain works, everything becomes easy. And that sort of started a lifelong passion to understand the science behind our brain. And so I went to school for behavioral neuroscience and I've spent the last 27 years in sort of its applied science, and how do you apply it to selling? How do you apply it to leadership, communication, and influence? And all of that comes down to some me trying to say, how do I take all of this research that can be complex and boring and not applicable, and how do you make it simple so that, you know, in minutes we can make an impact on our life to speak differently, communicate differently, and share our ideas with the world? Because I think there's a lot of really good ideas out there that never get shared.
I love it. And this is something I stole from your podcast. I wrote it down when I was listening to this, Renee. Every time you step up to speak, you're saying, judge me. So we are being judged. And so you allow us to be judged properly. Simply put, you're taking the neuroscience, the research, the brain study. And for me, I'm a simple-minded guy, and you're packaging it for me to understand at a very high level how to do some of these things. Tell me a little bit about that quote on how we are being judged. You and I are being judged right now.
Yeah, I think it's just a reality. It's an acceptance of the reality that every time we speak, people are judging us. Every time we do anything, people are judging us. Every time, you know, we're sharing an idea, we're being judged. We're judging people. And if we say, well, we don't judge, I mean, that's just not true. We all are doing that nonstop. It's part of the human existence. And so the question is when, and there's always a negative connotation to the word judgment too, in terms of what and how we're judged. We're judging something if it's valuable, if it's not valuable. You know, I'm not referring to judgy people, which there are. That's part of the human existence too. But we're being judged, does this add value? And, you know, somebody was once saying, like, oh, I'm not a judgmental person, as they're scrolling. I said, well, each one of your scrolls, you're judging something of whether it's valuable or not. And you stop scrolling. Why? Well, you judged that as being worthy of your attention. And so that sense of how do we capture attention and how do we get judged is part of, okay, what is the process behind the assessment of the judgment, the assessment of the value? And if we understand the science behind that and the parts that have nothing to do with logic, and how do we sort of structure the reality and the message that we're trying to communicate, now all of a sudden we have a much higher likelihood of somebody perceiving and understanding our message the way we want it to be perceived. And that's at the core of communication.
Core of communication. We're telling a message, we're disseminating, we want it to be perceived the right way. That's influence, that's persuasion. Where do I start? So imagine we're complete beginners and we do understand that there is a value in this. Why are you listening to this podcast if you don't believe there's a value in influence and persuasion? Got my notepad out. Where do I start, Renee?
It all depends on, to me, there's a few questions. One is, who's my audience? That's the thing. So think about this. I love the golf club and the golf analogy. Whether you've played golf or not, you understand the concept of you've got a bag of golf clubs and you've got to go to different holes and different on a course. It has, you know, usually 18 holes, and all of those are different terrains. They present different challenges, different hazards, and a different layout. And so imagine you've got different clubs in the bag and you walk up to the first hole and you go and you grab your favorite club first, and then you approach the hole. Well, there's something wrong with that sequence. What's wrong with it? You shouldn't grab the club first. You need to go assess the situation first. Mm-hmm. Where am I at? How far is this shot? Where is the pin? Where's the hole? Is there a water hazard? Is it, you know, 100, you know, a 96 yard par three where I don't need to hit that far? Or do I have a straight fairway in front of me so I can pull out my driver? But you have to assess the audience, in essence, the tee that I'm on. What am I facing first? And then you ask yourself the second question. What's my objective? What am I trying to achieve here? And so who's your audience and what am I trying to achieve is the first two questions when thinking about what influence tool you need to use. And so a lot of times people do it backwards. They grab their favorite influence tool, whether it be speaking or PowerPoint presentation, or I'm going to stand in front of the room. And instead of, let's assess who am I at. Then, in assessing who are they, you got to ask yourself who in terms of quotes. How are they feeling? What's going on in their situation? Are they stressed? You know, as a speaker, I got to understand who my audience is. And I was going on stage one time. I was up there for a year and a half. We had this planned out. And I found out 10 minutes prior to going on stage that they had just been acquired. Well, it changes my audience a little bit. It changes their stress level. Yeah. It changes where their perceptions are at. And so I've got to be able to adjust me on the fly at that situation to be able to best meet their emotional state. Because if they're thinking about what does this mean to my job, and I don't care about this guy speaking on stage, I might have to tell my kids that we're moving. I might have to tell my family my job's, or I might have to go to call that recruiter who knows what that means. But if I can't address that stuff first there, so it really comes down to the concept of, would you plant seeds in cement? And the answer is no. And oftentimes our audience is cement. They're just not ready for you to hear it. So we got to prepare them before we plant the seeds of our ideas.
Would you plant seeds in cement? I love this. And everyone listening, you know, they're a lot of them are active on LinkedIn. A lot of them are business owners, entrepreneurs. They're revenue driven. They're growth driven. They're kick butt people. Mm-hmm. They're posting on social media, and I tell people all the time, they're building a personal brand, whether they know it or not. People are talking behind their back, and what they're saying behind that person's back is developing their personal brand. So everyone listening is doing this in one way or another online. What if we don't know who our audience is yet? How do I start figuring out who that audience is and surveying them? And I'm curious if there's, you've spoken thousands of times, has there been times where you didn't know who your audience was and you fell on your face? I know that's like three questions at once, Renee, but what are your thoughts on all that?
Well, in terms of if you don't know who your audience is, find out. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as saying, okay, how many in the room here do this? Mm-hmm. All right, how many of the people do this? Okay, how many of you are in this industry? Okay, wonderful. That might be, and I've done that many times, where I've tried to get the information, and nobody seems to know. So I'll do a survey in the beginning. I'll just say, okay, how many people? A lot of times what I'll do is I spoke at an entrepreneur conference last year. It was me, Grant Cardone, Tim Grover, Brad Lee, and some other really, really cool people. And I got there, I was the opening keynote. And I got there an hour early, 7 a.m., we started at 8. I walked around, and everybody that got there, because I didn't know who, entrepreneurs, how many thousands of different entrepreneurs out there, businesses, they're all over the place. So it wasn't about a specific industry, it was like anybody who's an entrepreneur. So I walked around and I shook hands for literally 50 minutes until 7:50, everybody that I could, hey, how's it going? Welcome, thanks for coming here. And I said, what do you do? And that was me getting to know almost the entire audience. Now that served a few purposes. One, I got a chance to know who they were. Two, I built rapport with my audience before I even went on stage. So by the time I was out there, it wasn't the first time they had met me. Now, for those who knew me, it was cool. They got a chance to meet me ahead of time. For those that had no clue who I was, they go, oh my God, that's that guy that came and shook my hand. Mm. And so it was a really cool experience on both parts. One, it also calms me down, connects me to the audience, calms them down. It's a win all the way around. So if I don't know, go find out. And if you don't know when you're on stage, ask. I don't like to make it difficult. And so now that sounds, yeah. And it sounds a little bit crazy for some people to say that. Cause I was like, well, if I have a speech plan. Well, get to your speech afterwards. But if you have a speech plan before you know your audience, it's basically choosing your favorite club without knowing what tee you're on.
I love this. And just a clarity point, it sounds like you weren't walking around shaking hands saying, hey, I'm Renee, I'm speaking at 8 p.m., come see me speak on this. You were just blending in with the crowd and you just happened to be the nice gentleman that they met an hour ago. Oh, wow. So clarity point, you're not there to promote yourself, right? You're there quite literally to make connections and learn.
Absolutely.
And then use those people as fuel when you get on stage.
100%. It wasn't any self-promotion. Now, what happens, you know, if you have pictures of you and you're there, there's some there's promotion ahead of time. Some may know you, right? Which is great. And you take a few pictures and then people wonder. So it does help, but it wasn't the intention. My intention was legitimately to understand who was in my audience and to connect with them. And for anybody that suffers from any sort of anxiety on stage, they say, well, I get nervous. I'm like, good. We all do. That doesn't go away. So the butterflies never go away. But you can get them to fly in formation. And one of the ways that you do that, is go meet your audience ahead of time. Face the monster head on, shake its hand. And then you realize it's not so scary. And so you realize that they're just normal people. I realized there were people in the holistic medicine. There were personal trainers out there. There were people out there selling candles. There were people out there that are in insurance and real estate and mortgage. People out there selling solar. people out there that had just started a business. There were some kids out there that are still in high school. They'd heard about this and they'd figured out how to get the money from their mom to show up. I was like, look at this guy.
Yes.
Former military. You know, it all over the gamut. And then you get a chance to meet them. You say, wow, this is a great audience. And you walk up with that energy. It just changes the game.
So you're walking up with the energy. The butterflies are flying in formation. You mentioned, you know, it helps calm you down. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe that you're anything but calm, Renee. You're one of the most calm, even keel people I've ever spoken to. Do you ever get tremendously nervous? And if not as much today, was there a time where you weren't so calm and so certain? The ums and ahs that come out, you don't know what's going to come out next. Were you ever that person in the past, or have you always just been this cool and calm guy?
Absolutely was that person. And this is what I keep telling people, like even still have nerves, but you have a different relationship with the nerves. And the nerves before controlled me in the sense of like, I was scared of the nerves. I'm like, oh no, I have nerves, therefore. And so then I spent all my energy trying to get away from the nerves until you realize that nerves are a physical response. Nerves are really good for you. They sharpen you. They get you there. You make you keenly aware. It's too much of them. It's the diminishing return, like anything. Your muscles constrict. You lose access to what's called your hippocampus and your amygdala so that you can't get access to memory. So you start forgetting things. Mm. It's when it goes too far that it doesn't help. But when you can manage it through breathing, through a focus on what matters, shaking hands and connecting with people, these are all things that calm you down. And of course, obviously the preparation, you got to be prepared. There's nothing better than good preparation. So you walk in, you go, you know what? I'm ready for battle. I've done the work. And then there's philosophical things that you do, you know, spiritual things. Some people have a faith involved. Some people believe, you know what? I've done the work. Now it's out of my hands. Mm. And so when you can really, truly surrender to a process, like for me, once I get to there, I'm like, you know, there's nothing else I can control. I'm not going to practice anymore. It's game time. And so if I feel confident in my practice regimen, then I'm ready for a game. And if I realize that this isn't a win or lose game too, that changes it too. There's not a zero sum game in this one. For me to win, they don't have to lose. This is something that everybody here can win as long as I express what I believe from what I call the heart. My beliefs, my memories, my values, all of those things are my heart. I stay in that and I follow the sequence, what I'm supposed to talk about, do it with passion and conviction. I don't know how you lose.
Yeah, you do the preparation, your beliefs, values, what was...
And memory.
Belief, memory, and values. You come in, you're ready to own the moment, you submit to the moment, you've done the preparation. Let's walk through what this looks like, because I kind of teased it at the front and I wasn't exaggerating. In 3 to 5 minutes, you completely changed the way I talked about myself. One of my goals, Renee, is to guest on over 50 podcasts this year. And I've produced a ton of podcasts, but it's a complete different, it's a coin flip when you're guesting on a show and you teaching this framework of, you know, instilling these values into story and, you know, finding my why in that regard. Makes it so when I jump into a podcast interview, I can do a much better job to build rapport with the host, the audience, and actually convey why I'm passionate about what I do. So you did this with me at a good friend of mine, David Mamano's mastermind group. I'm wondering, is this like secret information that I need to go to a website to learn, or can we dissect exactly how someone can do that here today?
Oh, we can absolutely dissect it. I mean, learning it. I mean, we do have a course called Amplify where people spend 3 days going through what you did. So we did 3 to 5 minutes. We do a course where we take 10 people and we spend 3 days with them going through that. It's a immensely transformative experience that changes everything. But I just want to say
real quick, I'm imagining to myself, and this is a genuine testimonial, 3 to 5 minutes changed my life. I'm thinking in my head, what would 3 days look like? So that sounds incredible, Renee. So let's break it down and sure. We'll maybe do a hypothetical example and you walk me through how we would do this.
So the first thing you have to understand is that what we did with you is we structured your language to follow the sequence of how a brain processes information. And so if you think about it, let's just get really simple. I'm trying to communicate one idea to another, from one person to another, an idea. And that's basically one brain to another. So I have to speak the language of the brain. And the language of the brain is about a sequence. It's like a combination lock, and it works. And a lot of times we speak out of sequence. And we know sequences. This isn't something new. If I'm giving feedback, I don't start with the negative feedback. And we know because I don't start with negative because it shuts the brain down to listen to the positive. Mm. And so they're not going to hear. If I start with negative, they're not going to hear the negative. But if I start with positive, it primes them. It makes them feel safe. It makes them feel like, okay, this person saw something good. I can be open to something constructive at that point. That's a sequence. Start here, then go there. If you change the sequence, totally different result. And so the brain is full of thousands of those little sequences that really sort of unlock the ability to listen. And so the communication of the value proposition or a sales process, we know that before you do that, you need to build rapport early or later. People know early. Right away, you build rapport because rapport builds trust. We don't build trust later. No, let's get the deal done, then I'll build trust later.
And Renee,
like, no.
Rapport is not, you like golf, I like golf, let's talk about golf, right? Rapport is a lot deeper than that.
Yes. Rapport is about that we're in alignment with something and we're building trust with one another. So we understand those sequences. But now when you dive deeper, you realize there's some other really fascinating ones around language and around body language, around how I communicate something and the way I process and retain information. And so everything begins with understanding how we construct reality. Now I'm going to get deep on you for a minute.
Please.
Like if I were to say the word used car salesman, what's the first word that comes to mind?
Sleazy, unethical.
And why would that be? All I did was say a profession.
Yeah, it's the perception they've been portrayed. And I don't even believe it, but that's still the first thing that comes to mind regardless.
But why did it come to mind? Because of a past experience, right? Mm-hmm. So I said a profession, so that's a reality in front of you, and you have to construct that reality, and the way you construct the reality is by going to a past frame of reference, and that creates a narrative. The frame of reference triggers a narrative, and the narrative tells a story, and the story creates perception, and perception equals reality. So that whole process happens instantly. And so if I go, okay, if that's what's happening, whether or not I choose it to be happening, why not work with that versus work against it? So if I know that what I'm about to do, if I jump in, hey, I want to sell you something. Okay, what frames of reference did that trigger? Probably shut the brain down, increased resistance, stress went higher, the ability and just the ability to communicate ideas just starts becoming more and more difficult. So why would I wouldn't do that? I'd start differently. And so it's the same thing with the brain. If you ever met somebody and they tell you their name, you walk away and you don't remember their name. Like they literally just said it to you. Because yes. Your brain wasn't ready to hear a name. You were cement. The name was a seed. They tried to plant a seed in cement. It didn't work. And so when you've got to understand those processes. And so how does the brain construct reality? Through frames of reference. So if I don't provide a frame of reference to my audience, the audience will create one for me. My grandfather was in Cuba and he saw the Cuban Revolution that was about to begin. And so he knew he needed to get his family out of that country. So he wrote a letter to the president of the United States at the time, said that if you can get me and my family out of this country, I will come and fight for yours. So somehow that letter made it to the right person. And they pulled my grandfather out along with my mother, her sister, and my grandmother. He served in the American Armed Forces for 8 years. After his time, he landed in Patrick Air Force Base in Homestead, Florida. Now, at the time, Homestead, Florida was desolate. The only thing there was an Air Force base. So his quote-unquote American dream was really limited to how far he could walk. And so, but there was somebody who believed in my grandfather, saw what he did for this country, and got him into an older vehicle. And that older vehicle allowed him to expand his reach by 25, 50, sometimes even 100 miles to find better employment. And that better employment helped him earn more money, changing the trajectory of his life, my mother's life, and ultimately my life. And that person who believed in my grandfather was a used car salesman. So now,
yeah,
what happened was there's no, you didn't come up, did you think sleazy at all or anything negative?
No, not at all.
No, you just went forward with the story because I provided the frame of reference so your brain didn't have to. I constructed the reality for you so that your brain didn't have to based on your past experience. And if I have to depend on your past experience, I'm shooting, it's a crapshoot. I don't know the outcome. I'm hoping you have a good past experience with what I'm talking about. So you formulate that reality in the perfect way that serves my value proposition. Well, good luck. Most often that's not happening. So why take the risk? So what I'm saying is the sequence is start with frame. It's usually frame is a story. Mm-hmm. The backstory of how you got to where you're at or how you got to this idea. And so when we talked about yours, we asked you a question. What made you unique? And that uniqueness to me is a backdoor. It's a hack, if you will, of identifying something you value, your personal values. And then we said, what's the science say? So what was one of the things that made you unique? Do you remember?
Can we do a hypothetical? Let's not do sure. me. Let's just do a hypothetical.
Sure. Well, I mean, hypothetical is hard because you're not going to have the emotional response of that. I mean, it's because we're not going to know what that looks like. I mean, we'll just do a quick dissection of yours.
We can do mine. Yeah.
Because I think people want to know. I mean, they're listening to your podcast. Why not understand the backstory of your podcast? I mean, people came here to listen to you. And I know that part of one of your values is humility too, which is one of the things I appreciated, why I wanted to come on here. But let's just, for the listeners, let's go through what's one of the things that you said made you unique.
So connections, huge for me. I see myself as an underdog. We can get into why, but I didn't have the beautiful upbringing. I didn't have the good grades. I didn't have the white picket fence and the perfect family. So I see myself as an underdog. I saw myself as small. I was quiet. I hardly spoke the first 14 years of my life. So I've learned that through connection, you can build tribes and relationships that are so much more powerful than just myself. And not being an extrovert and not being a successful person and honestly being an alcoholic and over drinking from 17 to 25 put me in a position to fail. And it wasn't until recently in my life that I've started implementing the things I had been learning but suppressing. Things that I knew the answer, but wasn't actually in alignment with the answer. I wasn't practicing what I preach, that I've started to get the success here today. But it all comes from not having a great upbringing.
So let's go with just what makes you unique. It was connections, underdog, and I heard integrity in there. Is that true?
Sure.
I don't know. It was yes or no. You decide.
Connections, underdog. One thing that wasn't in there is fun. I got my start in marketing in the music industry just because I wanted to have a ton of fun, but I wanted to add value to the industry rather than just being a consumer. So fun is that's why I do the podcast. I don't care if anyone listens. I know I'm going to have fun with you. And then people do listen.
And so, all right. So now we know that connections, being an underdog and having fun are three of your personal values. And so the process goes, okay, so if we know that those are your personal values, the things that you value, those were formed between the ages of 9 and 13. And so that becomes a very critical time period as to who was around and what happened. And so the way they're formed is through one of two ways, either through what I call a lighthouse story, somebody who was a shining light of you know, connection, and somebody who overcame something, and somebody who really exemplified fun, and you followed them like a lighthouse, or through a foghorn story, meaning they weren't there. You had the opposite of it. And so you learned that I know the pain of not having these things. So you became the lighthouse. Either there was a lighthouse for you or you were forced to become the lighthouse. And so it sounds like you have a foghorn story. And because you didn't have certain things, you had to become that. And so then we grab that story. We say, okay, so underdog. We also heard alcoholic, right? So now, people, here's the thing. Those kinds of stories are awesome in the world of influence because they capture attention. Businesses are spending billions of dollars to try to capture attention. And we run away from the stories that actually do, the ones that make us vulnerable. Vulnerable is the superpower here. And so when we look at the struggle coming from something, overcoming it, that's the making of a movie, literally. All movies are based on that story arc. It's called the hero's journey, the rise of the hero, the fall of the hero, and the crawl back out of the hole. And that's when they fall and they're at their depth is when we root for them, we connect with them because we all know what it's like to fall. And so when we understand that story and you tell us how you got out of it and you say, so, you know, growing up, I didn't have X, Y, and Z. And so tell us, you just tell me just briefly, who was the foghorn for you?
You know, it's difficult. I don't like to point fingers.
It's not about pointing fingers. My mother was the most influential person in my life. She just died on February 27th. She's amazing. I love her. She was a lighthouse to me and certain foghorn pieces to me. It's not about pointing figures. Nobody's perfect. I love my boys, and I'm a lighthouse to them in certain areas. I'm also a foghorn. Because there's certain, and I tell them, you do not try to become just like me. Take what you love about me, but fight the rest of your life to not do a bunch of stuff that I did. And that's okay. You don't not love me because you don't want to do things like me. And so we have to embrace the fact that the foghorns are some of the best things that happened to us because they warned us. And when you fall in love with the foghorn, you fall in love with those things, you reach what the ultimate goal to me is, what's called amor fati. When you fall in love with your story, amor means love, fati is fate. A lover of fate, and you love the fact that this happened to me, and you move from the victim mentality of saying, well, this happened to me, versus to saying, well, no, it happened for me.
For me.
And when you actually believed that tragedy happened for you, trauma happened for you, you realize the full currency that has for your life, because then you can actually influence, connect, and help inspire those that are in that same scenario, because you can go down to those depths, sit down next to them and be like, hey, I've been down here too. It sucks. Let me show you how to get out. And because you've been there, you have credibility with them. And because you have credibility, they'll listen. And because you've come out, you're actually able to help. But if you pretend it never happened, you can't help them. So who is the foghorn? First of all, of connection, underdog, and fun, which one is the one that resonates most to you?
Connection.
Who is the foghorn for you? Just give me a name.
Yeah, my father.
Father, beautiful. So father, why father? Tell us the story about why he was a foghorn.
So he was a lighthouse in many ways in my life, coached all my teams, was always there for me, was physically present, but we never told each other we loved each other. We never connected on a deeper level. So he was guiding me, but I never felt a connection to him.
And why was that no connection? Just because of no words of I love you.
No words of I love you. To be honest, I think he was drunk and on drugs a lot of the time. I just didn't know it.
So you followed in his footsteps?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was no connection. You followed in his footsteps. So do you hear the story starting to be created? I mean, this is fantastic. Right. And when you can get to the place of like, holy shit, this is really cool. So I grew up, and instead of saying, well, I grew up with my father, you know, he was good in some places, but I never connected. Nobody wants that story because that's the sob story. Nobody gives a shit because everybody has a sob story. But when we say, you know what, I grew up a little differently. So you know, my father, you know, he was a lighthouse in so many ways. He was always there for me. And unfortunately, he struggled with drugs and alcohol. And so we never had that connection. So we never said, I love you. And, you know, I looked up to my dad and I followed him all the way to the bottle. And I did that from the ages of 17 to 24. And then something happened at 24. Tell us what happened at 24. Ooh. Did I get the ages right?
A couple things happened, but we'll focus on around that age. That's when I started my music podcast, because I was a consumer. And I wanted to add value to the industry that was more this money at the bar or buying tickets. I wanted to find a way to implement something that I loved, which was the medium of podcasting, my local community and music. So I started a local community podcast based around the music industry. So I was the only one in the industry doing it, and immediately got popular because of that focus. But I'm rambling by now, Renee. It was deciding not to be a consumer and to be a producer in that category.
Yeah, but what happened? What really happened? Why did you look in the mirror and said, I can't be drinking like this anymore?
It's a really good question.
Something happened. It's a big decision. Do you remember what happened?
I actually don't.
Think back. Try. And I'm gonna talk as you do, because try. There's something that happened. There's a decision at some point that you made. Some people have kids, right? Some people look in the mirror and go, wait a minute, what's going on? Some people meet the love of their life. Some people just wake up and go, hold on a second. This isn't me. What do you think it was for you?
What's difficult in the music industry story is I didn't just stop drinking. I don't have a mirror in, you know.
So was it a taper off?
It was a taper off.
Perfect. So, but at some point, what made you want to taper off?
Well, I will tell you one thing, and this is what I use in my story when I tell it generally, is I'm laying, and this was in 2020 that this happened. COVID hits, I'm furloughed from my sales executive role, and I'm laying there looking at a handle of Jim Beam whiskey. And actually what I did is I stumble on my computer to rewrite my LinkedIn profile. And then I, within that month, started just cold messaging strangers looking to start a business podcast. So I was pivoting from the music to the business. All the drinking and the drugs, I was doing that when I was in the music business as well. It was that COVID hit pivot moment that I went from being this party animal music professional to business Ben. That's
but when the you stumbled bigger, when you stumbled over the keyboard, you realized what? Wait a minute, something's off here.
Yeah.
And you realize that this new me is going to require a new me.
Isn't 100%.
Yeah.
Or else I'd fail.
And so that, and those are those moments when you realize, you know, drinking and drugs, you know, that's part of growing up. I was a musician too for many years. I played the congas, Latin percussion. And I never drank, but then all of a sudden I found myself, you know, a couple beers a night every time we'd have a gig, and it's like, holy wow, this, like, you see the, so that industry sort of draws you in. And then I wanted a new industry. And I remember I was redoing my LinkedIn keyboard, and as I reached over, I stumbled over my keyboard because there was a Jim Beam bottle there, and I started to ask myself, I said, if I'm going to be this, I can't be what I used to be. And it was one of those light bulb moments where I decided that that's where things needed to change. And you see how, like, you, already that story is just, you just keep it honest, whatever it was. It doesn't have to be some, like, I, you know, some big epiphany, but you know what? Stumbling over a keyboard, making a new LinkedIn profile and seeing a bottle there and realizing that I have to be different is powerful. And you use that, you say, and so then what I decided was to go back to, how do I make the connections? Really, truly make the connections through something that really told the story of the underdog while having fun in the business community. Making connections, being that underdog, and having fun while doing it. And that required me to build a podcast that wasn't about how many people I could get to download it. It's about how do I stay most true to my story and what the outcome was. And so now we find ourselves here today. So that's, it's just a sequence of the truth. It's not a rehashing of, it's not a changing of the truth. It's the resequencing of the memories in a way that we process it. And what happens is too often we try to deliver the message before we're ready for it. Here's what the podcast is about before we don't even know who you are or why, what problem are you solving for me? There's no relevancy to what you're saying. Great. Cool. One podcast of a billion. Cool. What, but now once I hear the story, all the other podcasts go away because we focus in on a story and nothing else exists but you. The same way we can be in the middle of chaos in our house, but our favorite TV show comes on and our periphery goes away and we just watch the show. We watch the game, the thing that matters to us in the moment. We don't have to stand out from every podcast. We have to stand out from every podcast within your attention span. And how do I get to your attention span and then stand out from all the things that could be in your attention span?
This is power. I'm just letting it all sit in, Renee. It's amazing because when you and I first met, we tackled the marketing firm. We just tackled the podcast. So if I don't go re-listen to this, take notes, and start implementing, I'm an idiot. Because you've just provided gold. And anyone can walk through the same process and write their story as well, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, the book is honestly written as a step-by-step guide to walk you through the entire process with all the science and the steps and the sequences. And for those, a lot of times people will read the book and then attend the course. And then a lot of people attended the course and then get the book as a reference guide.
I have the book right here. I'm on page 50, so I'm still working on it, Renee. But one interesting thing that you addressed in the book, so I want to ask you it. What's your favorite color?
So I was born in Miami, Florida, and moved to Minnesota when I was about 7 years old, and lived half-time Minnesota, half-time Miami, so I was about 16. So I never really felt at home during that time. But if I was on a beach and I saw palm trees, I knew that was close to my friends, my food, my music, my culture, all the things that made me happiest. And palm trees are green, so my favorite color is green. So that's the same process that we follow right there. Instead of starting with green, providing no frame, we start with the story behind the color and then move into that.
I think some people might, let's say you're 12, you might genuinely just want to know a favorite color, but I think most people want to connect with you at a deeper level, right? And you're instilling your values and stories and your life in the simplest of questions.
Well, if you think about what's the question behind the question, like, why am I asking? Like, and the favorite color is really an exercise to help take a really silly question and drive value with it. Most people don't put much thought into the questions that they ask. They put much energy into the questions that they ask. And when you look at that from that perspective, we say, okay, well, most people wait for the right questions to give rich answers. Rich questions equal rich answers. I say, no. You very rarely will you get rich questions. How about rich answers with dumb questions? Learn to give rich answers no matter what is asked of you.
No matter what. I love it. And your podcast also covers all this. I'm only about 8 or 9 episodes in, but every single episode has basically provided homework. It's provided framework, homework. Yeah. I can go and start implementing it myself. Let's give the audience today one piece of homework without recording a 20-minute podcast on it. Well, what is a piece of homework maybe from this conversation or taken from your podcast that I can go and implement today and start seeing results from implementing this quickly?
For sure. Yeah. So it's interesting. The podcast, it was meant to be more of a podcast, but it's, people say it's more like a training. I guess I don't really know how to do it differently. You know, the homework I think would be, you know, it's, listen to what we talked about here. Follow the process. Ask yourself what makes you unique. Keep it simple. Write down 3 to 5 and then choose one. Say, which of these speaks to my heart the most? And then just put a check mark next to it. Don't overthink it. It doesn't have to be the best one. Just start with one that's on your mind. And then say, okay, if this value, let's say it's hard work. And then say, okay, so if hard work is a personal value, ask yourself, what happened between the ages of 9 to 13? Who was around? And what happened to instill this value of hard work? And it was either somebody who was a positive influence or some event that was a negative influence and you became it. And if you can tell that story, you start creating a connection between who you are now and how you were raised and what happened as a kid. And when you can create that story connection, that's purpose.
That's purpose. Renee, before we close, we're going to do the rapid fire round. These are short, sweet, fill in the blank. Cross out the question, give any answer you want. It's like a Family Feud that we're going to go rapid, but it's like Whose Line Is It Anyway, that the points do not matter. Completely subjective to you because we want to get to know Renee a little bit better.
Perfect.
I like to start off with coffee or tea.
Coffee.
Are you a morning person?
Yes.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
What's your favorite time of year?
Summer.
Let's get a little more long form. So 1 to 3 books or podcasts that you would recommend anybody who gained value from this conversation check out.
1 to 3 books or podcasts. Let's go with, if you like the concept of framing, go with Pitch Anything or in Claff. And if you like the science, listen to the Huberman Lab.
I haven't listened to that, but I have read Pitch Anything. It's incredible. We didn't even touch on this. You're like a sales guru. I hate the word guru, but you're like a sales master trainer as well. And Oren Claff is another master trainer. So that's a great book. All right, we'll do one more. This is a bigger question. So Billboard, side of the road, all ages, all genders, all kinds of people will drive past this billboard. It's so darn big that everyone in the world's going to see it. If you could put one thing on that billboard, just one message that you know the entire world would consume, what would you put on that billboard? And why would you choose what you choose?
If I could put one thing on that billboard, You're only alive in the journey. Fall in love with the process. If you can't fall in love with the process or the journey, you will hate life.
Renee, tell us one more time, how do people get in touch with you? They're going to want to make a friend. They're going to want to learn from you. Where should we go?
My website, meetrenee.com, M-E-E-T, Renee, R-E-N-E.com. And follow me on Instagram, see Renee Speak, Renee, R-E-N-E, Speak, S-E-E, Renee Speak. And yeah, reach out, follow me. I'll follow you back and obviously get our book. Go to meetrenee.com, click on Amplify to learn about Amplify and all that wonderful stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I support you, Renee. I bought the book. I'm listening to the show. I will be at next year's Amplify. You give out so much just gold for free that if people could listen to your podcast and learn a million things. But since you give, I'd be doing you and your message a disservice by not supporting you. So I'll support you in everything you do, Renee. Thanks for coming on the show. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. And by the way, we do Amplify 3 times a month. AmpCon is 1 time a year.
Got it. AmpCon's the big, tell us what AmpCon is though. That's what I had in my head.
AmpCon is our sort of Amplify conference where all alumni and new people come together. Amplify is the day. It's 6,000 per person. So it's a much smaller, intimate group. AmpCon's around, $500 to $700 for the day. So it's a much bigger, wider audience, 800 to 1,000 people versus, the 10 people. So both extremely powerful for different reasons. But thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes. And if people want to, again, dive into the book and the podcast and the video and all this stuff first, they can do that as well. Renee, man, it's been such a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you, sir.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.